Concerns about the Suez Canal are sending oil prices higher.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. As hundreds of thousands of Egyptian protesters continue to flood into the heart of Cairo for today's march, global energy markets are focused on the Suez Canal, about 100 miles to the east. Since it was dug in the 1800s, the canal has been a popular shortcut for ships. For more on its significance, let's bring in Amy Myers Jaffe. She's the director of the Energy Forum at the Baker Institute at Rice University, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the Suez Canal, it's a waterway that connects the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. How important is it to global shipping, and what goes through there?
The most important commodity that goes through there is oil. There's about 2 million barrels a day of oil that goes through the Suez Canal.
And it keeps ships from having to go around the southern tip of Africa, which I gather would take more than a week. How important is it to Egypt's economy?
Well, it's very important to Egypt's economy. It's one of their main toll earners. It's definitely, if someone was going to try to put the government under pressure or wanted to bring more negative international attention onto the problem, it definitely could be a target, but it's not going to make any difference in the oil market whatsoever. I think the impact is really psychological. If we had violence in Egypt, what if that violence spread to other countries? What if we had a contagion effect to the Persian Gulf? It's not something that's going to cause real shortages in the world. It's not something that's going to have Americans standing in line for gasoline. It's really more the contagion effect. You know, what if you had street protesters in a country
right,
like Saudi Arabia? Then I think we'd see very high oil prices very quickly.
Amy Myers Jaffe, director of the Energy Forum at the Baker Institute at Rice University, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, here in the U.S., a major winter storm is bearing down on a large part of the country, so there are going to be a lot of people staying at home today. And as a result, many businesses are in for a dismal day of sales. But there's a new marketing approach that might help. Sylvia Marie Gross of KCUR has more now from Kansas City.
At Spin Neapolitan Pizza, manager Roger Formanek says business on snow days can be unpredictable, and usually it's dead. But last year, Spin started emailing out a crummy weather voucher of 20% off on snow days.
Literally almost every guest has the coupon in hand or on their phone. We'll take it either way.
So chances are they wouldn't have been here without it.
Probably not.
Spin was two-thirds full last snow day, a great turnout considering the awful roads. Morningstar consumer analyst Paul Swinand says this kind of last-minute promotion is made possible by online and social media marketing and inspired by the popularity of collective buying sites like Groupon.
Marketers, when they're trying to be local, they're trying to be relevant for that particular moment. You know, they're choosing what's on people's mind.
Even national chains are paying attention to local weather. On snow days, Chipotle offers 50% off, plus free chips and guacamole to the person who ventures out in the snow to pick it up. In Kansas City, I'm Sylvia Maria Gross for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe and Asia this morning. London about 1% higher this morning, same in Frankfurt and in Paris. In overseas trading, oil has bumped up over $100 a barrel. Oil giant BP said this morning that thanks to the Gulf oil spill, it lost money last year for the first time in 20 years. The company plans to slim down operations in the U.S. and focus on oil exploration overseas. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 68 points to close at 11,891.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
When you think of all the expensive stuff in a restaurant or a bar, used cooking grease probably does not come to mind. But its value is exactly what started a fight involving restaurant and bar owners in Atlanta. Turns out used grease is a hot commodity. Jim Burris reports from WABE.
Used to be, restaurants had to pay companies to haul away their used cooking oil. In recent years, selling that yellow grease has become a $500 million-a-year industry. So companies are now paying restaurants for the stuff. And that's pitting grease collector against grease collector. Over the past few months, a company called Greenlight Biofuels has wooed away some 50 local restaurants from one of the biggest players in the grease business, Griffin Industries. And Griffin is fighting back with a lawsuit. The company's attorney is Catherine Hernacki.
Interference with contract, conversion, trespass, and in the criminal arena, basic theft statutes. Theft is theft.
But Greenlight's attorney, Jim Neal, says the litigation is just sour grapes over losing customers.
It's very easy to make allegations in court. It's very difficult to prove those.
The whole Griffin Greenlight clash doesn't surprise Tom Cook, who heads the National Renderers Association, a trade group for grease processors. He says you have to keep in mind cooking oil is oil.
Some people are discovering that there is a value to this that they didn't realize was there before, and that's probably why there's as much competition for it.
And if you want in on the action, it's actually a traded commodity. Just ask for yellow grease. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And finally, in a couple weeks, reigning Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings will compete against a computer on the game show. But one software developer has already put search engines to the Jeopardy test. Stephen Wolfram fed a random sampling of Jeopardy clues into Google and Bing and other search engines. He wanted to see how many times each site put the correct answer to the question in the first page of results. Well, for Google, it was 69%. Bing showed the correct answer on the first page just 63% of the time. As for Ken Jennings, what is 79% of the time? In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson, on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
How much soy does it take to build the inside of a car?
So Ford is currently saving about 3 million pounds of petroleum each and every year by using soy instead of petroleum.
I'm Bob Moon. Cup holders and car seats get a green makeover next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.